This morning, I am extremely excited to be bringing the Word of God today. So I'm going to straight jump into what I'm about to share this morning. And so before I forget, I would like to entitle my message, because I always give my message title at the end of my message because I always forget. So this time, I'm not going to forget. So I'm going to give you my message title, and I entitle this morning, Sunday morning message, as Loving the Lost. Everybody say loving the loss. Come on, everybody say loving the loss. You know, and I would like to share with you a testimony, a story that happened a couple of weeks ago. And I was actually invited by Seta School, the girls' school, for their Christian fellowship, you know, after probably 2.5 years to 3 years after the pandemic, you know. Finally, they are coming back physically, you know, and they invited me back for their Christian fellowship, and we were just so excited when we got the news. And usually, before their Christian fellowship, which is on a Thursday morning, on Wednesday night, I would get so excited and pumped up in my spirit, because on the next day, I know that somebody in school is going to have an encounter with the Lord. I believe that when words are being spoken out, we release the presence of the Lord through whatever that we speak. Come on, can I hear an amen, please? So on a Wednesday night, while I was preparing, you know, usually I would just turn on my worship songs and I'll take some time in worship. And then usually the Lord would just speak to me. All right, he will give me a word, he will give me a verse, he will give me something, and I will just naturally on Thursday, I will just go and I will share. But somehow on that particular week, after 2.5 years of not gathering for their Christian fellowship, you know, it's their first Christian fellowship after so long, I was like, oh my God, it's such a privilege that they wanted me to share for their first one. You know, and I was thinking, God, I gotta share about what you're doing. I gotta share about what you're saying. And on Wednesday night, I heard nothing. You know, how many of you, when you pray, you seek the Lord, you do everything right, but you just don't hear anything when you pray? Come on, how many of you feel that before? Let me not feel alone on stage this morning. You know, when you pray, you just don't feel like, hey, how come God not speaking to me? You know, how come I don't hear the voice of God? So, okay, normally I would just like, okay, you know what, God, you're going to talk to me on maybe on Thursday morning when I wake up, when I spend some time with you, when I pray. And Thursday morning came. I got excited. Christian fellowship is happening. I woke up, I shower, and usually when I shower, it's always the place. Everybody say always. It's always the place where the Lord speaks to me. Okay? Somehow, toilet has an anointing. I'm telling you something. Somehow, the toilet has an anointing, whether you're on the white throne or whether you are showering. You know, somehow, you know, when you're in the toilet, when you're showering, you're just thinking about the Lord will speak. And it's always very clear. You know, in the morning, it's always very clear. But somehow on that day, I heard nothing. And I was like, God, are you here? You know, God, where are you? You know, and I was like, okay, never mind. Maybe while I'm driving, right? Some of you, when you drive to work, when you drive to college, you pray and you spend time with the Lord, and the Lord will speak. So that's my natural reaction as well. You know, you know what? I told God, right, it's okay. I'm gonna drive and I'm gonna spend time with you. Probably you will speak. And I was driving. Okay, I was driving to school on a Thursday morning. And God didn't say anything. And by that time, I was freaking out a little bit. Okay, I was freaking out a little bit because it's their first Christian fellowship after 2.5 years, and I don't want to just show up and say, hi, I got nothing for you. No, I don't want to just show up. Of course, I can share something, but I do not want to share whatever that I want to share. I want to share what God has for them. Can I hear an amen, please? So that morning, I was like, God, you got to speak to me. Why is it I'm not hearing from you? Why? Am I not sensitive? Or is there something wrong? And I was just like, God. And by the time I was just talking to her, I reached the school really. And I still didn't hear anything. And I was saying, you know what, God? I'm just going to go in. I'm just going to say something. And you're just going to appear. You know, that's what we expect, right? Sometimes when we just say something, or we believe God for a decision, and we expect God to move in our decision. Right? Sometimes that's our belief. That's sometimes how we want God to work. But as I was walking in the school, I was reaching the class really, where all the girls are gathered. You know, I believe they were excited for their first Christian fellowship. And I walk into the class, and that was the moment. Suddenly the Lord spoke to me. How many of you like the suddenly moment? Finally, God came through, you know, like suddenly moment. And then suddenly, the Lord just spoke to me something so simple that I was a bit shocked and I couldn't comprehend at that moment. The Lord told me, I want you to share the simple gospel. I want you to share the simple gospel, the good news of me, the good news of Jesus. And I want you to share about my love. And I was like, wait, this doesn't make sense. I'm in a Christian fellowship. That means all the Christians actually gather here. So why am I still sharing on the good news when they already knew the good news? You know, I was a little bit puzzled in my mind, but no matter what, I just continued to obey the Lord, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to share the good news. And I went on, and I started opening up my mouth, sharing the good news of Jesus, and just cut the story short. You know, I felt the love of God so tangible and so powerful in the entire classroom. Literally, it was like a church service. Not even kidding. And this happened in a school. All right, it was like a church service. It was like a revival event. It was like a youth service that took place on that Thursday morning. And I invited them to say the sinner's prayer, to get connected back to the heart of the Father for those that have been longing for more of God, that have been far away from God. I invited them to pray together with me for the sinner's prayer. And after that, every single one of them actually stood up to their feet and said the sinner's prayer and accepted the Lord and wanted to get connected with Jesus. And I was like, whoa, that's something really powerful, you know. And I asked them after that. I asked the girls. I said, girls, I want you to be honest with me. I only got 30 minutes with you and I'm already at the end of my session. You know, I want you to be honest with me. How many of you actually felt the tangible presence and the love of God in this place? And I know, I've been sharing in convent, I've been sharing in SETA, I've been sharing in all the schools, SDJ and all. And I know these guys, they won't hype you up, okay? They will say no to your face, okay? If they don't feel it, they don't feel it. They'll tell you one, right? But every single one, almost 95% to 100% of them actually raise up their hand and they say they encounter the love of God. Some of them are wiping away their tears. Some of them are just so still in the moment being captured by the love of God. And many of them, can I let you know that many of them, in fact, are not strong believers. They are not Christians that actually go to church. In fact, the next week, I actually asked them, how many of you actually attend church? Only two of them raised up their hand. But at that moment, on that Thursday moment, the Lord showed up so powerfully that every single one of the students there had an encounter with the Lord, had an encounter with the Father face to face, and that the love of the Father was so strong that they experienced it so tangibly. And that's not the best part. That's not the best part. You know, probably we get excited, you know, because, oh, so many of them encountered God. And suddenly the Lord told me, pray for the teacher. Whoa. I was like, okay, you know, pray for the teacher. That's something that, you know, something that I don't do usually. But suddenly I just turned to the teacher and I said, teacher, I hope you have time. I don't know. I hope that you're not rushing to a class, but I feel like I need to pray for you. I feel like I need to pray. And the teacher is very bubbly one, okay? She's always very bubbly. So, you know, she's not playing one. She's always very bubbly. And when I prayed and I just released whatever God wanted me to release, and I saw her even wearing the mask and she was just crying and weeping in the presence of the Lord. And she was just weeping and weeping. And after that, when we left SETA, she texted me. She texted me and she said, thank you so much, Pastor, for coming to make a difference. That word hit my heart so much that I felt that, church, we are actually living in a time and a season where sharing the gospel, talking about Jesus, preaching the good news is no longer just a commandment or a commission that a believer must have, but it's in fact an urgency. In fact, it's an urgency for us to talk about Him so that many more will start to know Him and have a relationship with Him. I believe with all my heart that is the season we are actually stepping into. You know, only in the month of June, I suddenly felt a shift in the spirit. I believe Pastor Rajan has said this. I believe Pastor Jonathan has actually shared on stage as well. But I felt it, you know, I really felt it in my spirit that on the month of June, there's actually a shift that took place. A shift in the spirit realm. That more than ever, the gospel and the good news has to be preached because more and more people needs to hear about Him. Can I hear an amen, please? I really, really believe it is time. It is time. This is why in John chapter 4, verse 35, John 4:35, it says, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." I love this part where he says, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes." Why lift up your eyes? Because many a times we are not focusing on the harvest. We are thinking about doing our work, focusing on other things and in our lives, in our family, in our career. But we forgot to look at what God has called us to do. And this is why he says, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, stay focused, look upon the harvest, for they are already ready." Everybody say, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. More than ever, it's harvest time. But the thing is this, a harvest cannot be yielded without a harvester. A harvest cannot be yielded without a harvester. And it is not just a responsibility for the pastors and the leaders and all the full-time workers in the church. But in fact, it's for every single sons and daughters and believers in the kingdom of God to share about what Jesus has done in your life. To those around you, to your community, to your neighbor. The Word of God says, love your neighbor as yourself. So it is our responsibility. Not the pastor, not just the work, the full-time worker, but it's every single one of us as believers of Christ, as sons and daughters, as people that believe in the Word, to preach the Word. How many of you believe that that is for you? Say amen. Oh, that became silent very fast. How many of you believe that you are called to be more than a conqueror? Say amen. Okay, that's a stronger amen. But do you know that you are also called to be a harvester? This is why in Romans chapter 10 verse 14, Romans chapter 10 verse 14, it says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him on whom of they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" A preacher is not just a person that stands on stage and preaches the good news on a Saturday evening and a Sunday morning. No. A preacher is someone that actually carries the Word, carries the living Word that can bring changes and miracles and breakthroughs into the lives of many, because the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside you and I. We are a living testimony. We are the walking reflection of Jesus Christ on this earth. So therefore, you and I are called to be preachers of the good news. Not just the leaders, not just the pastors. How many of you actually heard this before? That good things are meant to be shared. Right? It's a famous kind of quote. Good things are meant to be shared. You know, and when I was young, I always will follow, I mean until now as well, but seldom really. When I was young, I would always follow my mom to go for grocery shopping. Whether grocery shopping or pasar malam, you know, I will always actually follow my mom. And somehow, somewhere, somewhat, there will be some auntie that she will meet along the way. Somehow, one, you know, every single time. You know, and of course they will have that, you know, that small courtesy chat, you know, "Hi, how are you? How's your kids?" You know, that small courtesy chat, you know. And then of course they will catch up a little bit, but always, almost 100% of the time, okay? Almost 100% of the time, that conversation will always lead to the best shopping place or the best place that got discount. "Hey, this place are very nice to buy the fish. Wow, the price are very good, very fresh, the ice bling bling one, you know? wow, you know, I always go grocery shopping and I'll be waiting like that, you know, like, can this be over yet? Oh, this place, Watson got 50% sale. You gotta go buy. A lot of people, the Singaporeans coming in, taking everything away. Wow, I will hear all these stories since I was young growing up. You know, and I always tell my mom, why all these aunties always tell you the best place to get discount item, you know, promotion item. And my mom always tell me, good things are meant to be shared. Good things are meant to be shared, you know. And many a times we find for the best lobang on in JB, best lobang for the things that we want to buy, you know. But the best part is, in this day and age, right, we have something more than just a face-to-face conversation. In this day and age, we have something called social media, right? We have Instagram, we have Facebook, and this is the best part, okay? I don't want to talk about my mom anymore. Let me talk about my dad, okay? If you are friends with him in Facebook, he's not just known as Mr. Wilfred, okay? He's known as Mr. Food Blogger, okay? Those of you that follows him, you know what I mean, okay? Nobody asks for his opinion. He will post all the food that he eats and he will give his recommendation on social media. And I'm thinking to myself, Dad, you don't have to post every single thing that you eat. You don't have to post every single place that you go. You know, and I always tell him, Dad, you don't have to. You don't have to share. Nobody cares. And he would just, he don't care. He would just post on his Facebook, you know. And he would post things like, oh, this place serves high quality food. Highly recommended. Or else he will say, famous food, but horrendous queue, not worth the wait. This quote, I'm not even making this up. This quote is literally found on his Facebook, if you are friends with him, okay? But I'm just using my mom and my dad as an example. But I want you to understand this, you know? As much as he's sharing all of this in Facebook and he doesn't care whether anyone actually reads his recommendation or not, but he's sharing to the social media. And social media, let me tell you something, it's not just your friends in Facebook. If you share in social media, basically you're sharing to the world. You're sharing to the entire world. All right, so I'm telling my dad, Dad, you gotta stop. Because you know why? People can share your post, and they can share your post. It means that their friends can see what you post. And probably one day, one of the restaurant owner will find you. I confirm tell you, the restaurant owner will find you. Either they will bless you with a free meal, or probably they will come looking for you because you say it's a horrendous queue and not worth the wait. You know? But I always believe this. If we can be so passionate about sharing about the best lobang, the best promotion place, the best discount place, and best place to eat the food, and all those things, whether a face-to-face communication or whether it's on social media, why not? Let's generate it to the other way, where we talk about Jesus, our passion for the love of God, where what God has actually done in our life to the friends around us, to our community, in social media, in your Facebook and in your Instagram and whatnot. Because I believe Jesus is the real deal in town. Hey, come on, somebody say amen, please. More than any deals you can get in the market, more than any deals you can get in Just Kota Brau, more than any deals you can find, Jesus is the real deal. He's the real deal, and he's the best deal you can ever find. Better than anything and anyone that is looking for recommendation. That's why in Romans chapter 10 verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. See, the requirement is so simple. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and you will be saved. So simple, right? So simple. You don't even need to spend any of your money. Okay, you don't even have to invest in anything. You don't even have to drive your car, move to someplace. It just simply say, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You will be saved. You will be saved. You will be saved. And for eternity, you are saved in Jesus' name. And the best part is, The goodness and the kindness of the Lord is for every single one of us who believes in Him. This is why the Word of God says in Psalms 34, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You don't have to go and taste where is the best char kway teow in town. You don't have to go and taste what kind of food is the best and recommend it in your Facebook. But when you are able to experience what God has in store for His sons and daughters, where He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. And let me tell you something. There is something about tasting and seeing the Lord. There is just something about tasting and seeing the Lord. For those of you that have never experienced that, I pray and I pray and I pray that one day you'll be able to literally taste and see the goodness of God. When I say taste here, it's not some Greek word that means other thing, okay? Taste here literally means taste. See here literally means see. Using your five senses. God gave us five senses, not just for us to feel whatever that we want to experience on the earth, but it's also for us to recognize what God is doing and what God is giving. So therefore, when He says taste and see, in fact, when I was probably like 20 years old, it was so crazy that until this day, I still remember. I was sleeping in my room, and I think about 3 a.m. in the morning, I remember suddenly I was awoken by a sweet, sweet aroma. A very sweet aroma. And it's not like those, you know, those super sweet, but it's a very sweet smelling aroma. And I woke up, I was like, who is cooking at the middle of the night at 3 a.m. And I'm in my room. My windows are closed. My doors are closed. Nobody in my house is cooking. That's for sure. Everyone's sleeping. Windows are closed. I look out the window. There's no one cooking. You know, some people, they do wake up in the morning and they cook, but there's no one cooking in 3 a.m. And I was thinking, where did this sweet aroma come from? And I took a step and I opened up my door and I walked out from my room. The smell was gone. But the moment when I went in back my room, the smell was there. I opened up my toilet door and the room smell was gone. I closed my toilet door and I was back in my room, the smell was there. And I was thinking, oh, did I sleepwalk and spray perfume? It's an unfamiliar scent. You know, I don't have a perfume that smells like that. It smells so sweet and flowery. And then when I sat down, I suddenly remembered the verse. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And immediately at that moment, my spirit got connected with the Father. And I heard the Father saying, taste and see that my love for you is good. And I was thinking, wow, at 3 a.m. in the morning, I was tasting, smelling the sweet aroma of Jesus in my room. And I started crying and weeping because it was so wonderful. It was so beautiful, the smell, the scent. It lingered, you know, it really lingered throughout, I think, the entire few hours, literally, until probably like 7 a.m. in the morning. I was praying until 7 in the morning. And the moment when I stopped praying, literally, not even kidding, when I stopped praying, the smell then gone. Only then it went away. Then I was like, whoa. I knew immediately at that moment it was the Lord. We are called to be the salt and light of the earth. This is why in Matthew chapter 5 verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But before I read that, I want to read this message version, okay? Usually I'm a strong believer of the NKJV, simply because I want to not miss out the original context of what the Word of God says. But this translation is just too good not to read in the Message translation, okay? So I'm just going to read it in the Message version. It says, let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. Wow. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? Woo! Oh, I love that. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? If you have lost your usefulness and you will end up in garbage. Here's another way to put it. You are here to be the light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We are going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Come on, everybody say shine.
Shine.
Keep your house open. Be generous with your lights. By opening up to others, you will prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Whoa, when I read this portion of scripture in the Message translation, literally the meaning of being salt and light came alive to me. It just came alive to me, because it's no longer just being salt and being light, but bringing God colors to the world, but bringing godliness to our environment, to our community. And in fact, every single one of us, we are called to reach out to the lost. But oftentimes, knowingly or unknowingly, you know, we learn through the experience of life and we categorize the lost. We start categorizing the people that are lost. We start to say, oh, those that are living in the streets, those that are living a messed up life, you know, those that are going through some struggles in life, they are the lost ones. They are the one that needs the salvation grace of God. Those that are, involved in drugs and bad company, those are the ones that need God. And it's so easy for us to recognize and label these people in this category of being lost, the lost one. But how many of you know that there are seemingly rich people that look good on the outside, that always brings a smile on their face, but in fact, on the inside of them, is so broken, so devastated, and so empty. And they are the ones that are also needing the salvation grace of God. I believe that on this day and age, the Lord is teaching us. Really, the Lord is teaching us that the lost people, the people that are lost, looks like all people. They don't have a certain look on their face that says lost. They don't have a label on them that shows that they are lost. Lost people does not have a certain look. Of course, there are certain people that when they are depressed, you know, they have a certain expression and emotions on their face. But not necessarily every single time, you know, these are the lost ones. What about those that seemingly do well? Those in high positions, those in high rankings, those people living a good life and wealthy life. Are they not lost just because they are doing well in life? I really, really believe that the Lord is teaching us this morning that the lost looks like all people. And we shouldn't categorize people just because on how they look, what they wear, and how they speak, or whoever they mix with. But rather, what the Lord has in store for every single one of them. Because I believe that every single one of us has a God-shaped vacuum in our heart that only can be filled with Jesus. Everyone in this earth needs Jesus. Everyone. There is no such thing as, oh, that person looks like he's doing well, he's driving a good car, you know, he has a good family with kids and stuff, you know, his career is blooming, oh, he doesn't need God. No, there's no such thing. Every single one, no matter how well they're doing, no matter whether they are smiling or not, they need Jesus. They need God in their lives. They need the intervention of God in their lives. Because there is a vacuum, there is a space in your heart where only God can fill. This is why everyone needs God. This is why in John chapter 3 verse 17, it says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." The world symbolizes every single one of us. Despite our background, despite our race, despite our religion, it doesn't matter, because every single one of us are worthy of His love. Every single one of us needs to experience and have encounter with the love of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." I'm going to stop at, bring me back to verse 7. Yeah, I'm going to stop at, "Beloved, let us love one another." The word "beloved" here, many of us think when we read this word "beloved," is we think it's a greeting. It's a greeting in the olden days church. It's a greeting, "beloved." But do you know that this word "beloved" here in 1 John chapter 4 verse 7 is the same word "beloved" in Mark chapter 1 verse 11, where the heavens were opened and the Spirit came upon Jesus with a loud voice saying, "You are my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." That is the same "beloved." That is the same "beloved." And both of these "beloved" came from the root word in the Greek, agape. One is agapetos and one is agapetoi. But it came from the root word agape. And agape is the perfect love. The perfect love of the Father. It is the highest form of love that a man can experience. Agape. And I believe when the Lord says, "Beloved, let us love one another," it simply means, "Beloved, because you are perfectly and completely loved by God, let us now love one another with the love that God has given us, with the love which we have received." Can I hear an amen, please? Church, are you still here with me? Because love is from God. Let me continue. It says, "For love is of God." Love is of God. And can you bring me back to verse 7? Don't change it, please. Verse 7. "And everyone who love is of God. And everyone who love is born of God and knows God." Love is from God. And that whoever chooses to love comes from Him. Because the very nature of God is love. So if we choose to love, we actually identify ourselves as His. As His children, as one with Him. And that is the mark of God upon every single believer, that we are capable to love. We are more than capable to not just love using the puppy love and all. We are capable to love in the agape love because of the love which we have received from the Heavenly Father. And because we choose to love, it says in the next part, "And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Whoever they choose to love, the knowing of God becomes our portion. The knowing of God becomes our portion. There is a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. There's a huge difference. I can sit here and I can preach to you and I can share to you. You can read your Bible and you can know about God. God did this, God did that miracle, God did this healing. You know about God. But knowing God is not knowing about God. Knowing God is knowing Him personally. You know His likes and dislikes. You know what pleases Him and displeases Him. You know exactly what He's going for. You know His voice. You are sensitive in His moving. That's called knowing Him. The knowing of the Lord becomes your portion when you choose to love. And let's continue reading verse 8. He says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Verse 9, "In this love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. And in this love, not that we love God, but He had loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Verse 11, this is what I like. "Beloved, perfectly and completely one, loved by the Lord. If He has loved us, we also ought to love one another." We also ought to love one another. Because we have received the perfect love, the complete love of the Father, we are able and capable to release and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Can I have the worship team, please? Jesus taught His disciples a parable. A parable, and it's called the parable of the Good Samaritan. You're familiar with this Let's look at Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37. And again, I'm going to read from the Message version because it's just too good. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37. Just then, a religion scholar stood up with a question to test Jesus. "Teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life?" He answered, "What's written in God's law? How do you interpret it?" He said, "That you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you love yourself." And Jesus said, "Good answer. Do it and you will live." Looking for a loophole. Looking for a loophole, he said. And just how would you define neighbor? Jesus answered by telling a story. There was once a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and on the way he was attacked by robbers. They took his clothes, they beat him up and went off, leaving him half dead. Luckily, a priest was on his way down to the same road. But when he saw him, he angled across to the other side. Then a Levite, a religious man, showed up. He also avoided the injured man. A Samaritan man came, and when he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. He went to him and gave him first aid, disinfecting and bandaging his wounds. Then he lifted him onto his donkey, led him to an inn, and made him comfortable. I'm going to just stop right there. Basically, there were just three persons that came into this story. There was an injured man. He was at the wrong place at the wrong time. Robbers were there, beat him up, left him for dead. The first person was a priest. The second person was a Levite. A Levite means a man or a group of people that knows the word of God. A priest and a Levite. But both of them, even after knowing what God has commanded them, what God has told them to do, when they saw the injured man, they went the other way. They went the opposite way. But yet a Samaritan, a group of people which the Jews despise, because they are not worthy enough. A Samaritan saw the injured man. And he said, "No, I'm not going to walk away. I have to help him." And if you continue reading the story, it's simply beautiful. How this Samaritan man actually came and loved on this injured person. That even after he left from the city, he told the innkeeper and said, "I will pay forward on whatever that this man owes." I really believe that the Lord is inviting every single one of us to love like how this Samaritan man has loved. To love our neighbors as yourself. John chapter 15 verse 12, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Mark chapter 12 verse 31, it says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." How can you love others if you don't love yourself? How can you love yourself if you don't know how much God loves you? We can't truly love our neighbors if we don't know how much God has loved us. And the only way to have the love of God is to allow the God of love to have you. And I believe that this morning, more than the urgency to preach the gospel, can we allow Him to love us once again? Can we allow Him to just love us as a son, as a daughter? Because many a times we put up a front that we need to be strong. We need to do things. We can't stop. Because if we stop, if we break down, our family will come crashing, our career will come crashing, everything will start crashing down in our world. And we feel and we believe that we need to keep going forward and not care and not love ourselves. But I believe this morning the Lord is inviting you into that presence to let Him love you so that you will understand the complete and perfected love of the Father, that you will be able to love yourself. Can everyone stand to your feet? Romans chapter 10 verse 13, it says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jeremiah 33 verse 3, it says, call unto me and I will answer you. Call unto me and I will answer you. Call unto me and I will answer you. Some of us here in this place, we need to start calling out to the name of the Lord. We need to start calling God into the situations and into the environments of our life. And I want you to know for sure that He will answer you. He will answer you, and He will show you great and mighty things which you have not known, which you have not seen, which you have not heard, which you have not received. That's the God that we serve. With every head bowed, with every eyes closed, I believe that the Lord is extending His arms, His hands towards us with His endless love. He's reaching out to every single one of us. More than preaching the gospel, more than talking about Jesus, He wants you to experience Him. He wants you to experience the fullness of the love of the Father. So can we just take the next 20 seconds? Just take the next 20 seconds to get connected with the Lord. Even as the music plays gently, I want you to just get connected with the Lord in your very own way. You don't need a song to sing to get connected with the Lord. You have every access to the Father in this place. Come on, everyone in this place, just get connected. With that 20 to 30 seconds, let me tell you something. The Lord can speak to you. The Lord can touch you. The Lord can minister to you. The Lord can give you an encounter right now all across this place. Come on, reach out to Him. Reach out to the Father. Reach out to your lover. Reach out to the one that has the perfect love of Jesus right now. Come on, all across this place. Just reach out, just reach out, just reach out. Jesus. Father, I pray for every single person in this place. I pray that You will speak to them, You will minister to them, that even as they walk out from this place, Lord, throughout the week, Lord, they will have an experience with You, they will have an encounter with You, and Lord, because they have received the completed and the perfected love of God, I pray that the good news of Jesus will be released through their conversations, will be released through their day-to-day life, Lord Father. I pray that You give them the bonus, Lord, and I pray for every single one of them throughout the week, and then I declare that they are the head and not the tail. They will excel in everything that they do, Lord Father. Bless every single one of them, Lord Father. In Jesus' most precious name, we ask and we pray, and the church of God say, Amen. Come on, church, let's give God the glory. Hallelujah.